Thank you, Bob, and First Energy for inviting Peyto to be cleanup hitter today. So I've got the standard deck here with a few new slides in there just to talk about some of the properties that we're working on and a little bit of discussion about our 2014 plans now that we've set our budget in motion. Of course, an advisory on forward-looking statements everybody can maybe read if their glasses are good enough. Where we stand currently, we've got just under 150 million shares outstanding. We've been paying a monthly dividend of 8 cents per share per month since May. We boosted that 33% this spring. Just all this growth that we've had is throwing off all these earnings that we can now afford to pay out in the form of dividends. So current production, just recently, we brought on 3 new facilities. So our current production shot up from 60,000 to 70,000 barrels a day. And we're looking to continue to build on that to the end of the year. So that's about 420 million cubic feet equivalent. The end of the year reserves number here is a little bit stale. Obviously, we've been drilling all through the year, so we've grown our reserve deck as well, and so we'll be racking that up here at the end of the year. We're just about to close a debt issue that we did. So this is the time of year when we tend to look at funding requirements for 2014 and our program that we've got coming up, and so we recently announced a $120 million senior unsecured note issue. That's a 7-year note. It's a 4.5% Canadian coupon, so that's expected to close here, I think, on December 4th. So I'm rushing home from the conference here to have a closing meeting with all of our investors, but that then gives us about $270 million of term debt that we've got over the next 7 to 10 years at, as you can see, very good coupon rate, so good cost of capital there. And then we've got just under $600 million of revolving debts on a $1 billion facility. So lots of room to fund an aggressive capital program as we move forward out of 2013 into 2014. And, of course, then our enterprise value, market cap plus net debt, puts us about $5.5 billion. Which, again, I always say is not bad for 43 employees. Third quarter highlights, just quickly what we announced recently here. We had production per share up 18%. We maintained our operating margins at that 75% range. We've had the operating margins that high for just about all of our existence, actually. These are some of the highest margins that we've actually had in the company's history. So really shows you how we're squeezing the cost structure. Earnings to revenue, so a profit margin of 23% this last quarter, not a bad match to the amount of dividend that we're paying out. Funds from operations were up 25% year over year, and again, we boosted our dividend to 33% in the spring, so that's up year over year, and including the dividend, the share price is up about 29%. So I think we're firing on all cylinders here and maintaining a very low-cost advantage that's driving a lot of this profitability. Our strategy has always been to grow assets per share, and really this growth comes as a byproduct of us making good rate of return on our investments. When we decide to invest aggressively, that's when the growth tends to show up, and when we decide not to be an investor in the industry, that's when we tend to hold flat. But all in all, I think we're building the most shareholder value we can by being a little countercyclical to the rest of the industry and taking advantage of the low cost at a time to generate the maximum returns. Of course, the profitability of that growth comes from us controlling our costs. So F&D costs are coming down. The new technology is helping that. Operating costs and transportation are going down as we continue to maintain very full facilities. Interest costs coming down. We're accessing cheaper and cheaper capital. And G&A per unit is coming down so low it's almost zero. All my staff are claiming they need a raise. Anyway, our growth profile, we've been on this sort of rapid growth profile on a per-share basis for the last 3 years, 4 years. That looks to continue in through 2014. You can see our year-end 2014 target there. So we're hoping to maintain the same profile as a result of a very successful capital program, and we're doing it despite the fact that we've got some historically low natural gas prices. So people have seen this slide before, and I think we're looking to continue this slide into the future, obviously building, producing it for less than what we're selling it for, maintaining that good wedge of profit from which we pay our dividend. And the industry continues to struggle, I think, to meet some of those profitability hurdles to achieve some sustainability in both growth and income. Our asset base continues to grow in the Deep Basin. You can see Brazeau River there. We've added that over the last year and a half in the south. We kind of came out of the closet with our position there. We've recently started a facility up. So now we've got 9 operated gas plants across this Deep Basin land base. Again, still 97% of it is processed by Peyto. We operate almost 100% of the production. And we're growing our facility infrastructure as much as we're growing our production to accommodate, to make sure we've got control of all of that production right from the reservoir to the sales meter so that we can control the costs and ensure that it's making money. And no surprise, the Brazeau lands and a lot of the lands that we've been picking up this year all fit inside that gas window in the Deep Basin. So all of this is the window in which there's no mobile water in these sandstone reservoirs. We like that. We don't like the cost associated with removal and disposal of water and the risks that it brings with reserve recovery. So we're going to be continuing to position ourselves in that window, and there's lots of opportunity to do that going forward. We're seeing a lot of land turning over the next 2 years within that Deep Basin fairway. Of course, it's a multi-zone stacked area, and the new technology works perfectly to develop a lot of these different layers of the sandstone strata that has no water in it. All of it's liquids-rich gas, and we're getting very large pads now with more and more wells per single site. We're only asking to build one road and one pipeline and one set of infrastructure to the surface now to access more and more resource underneath us that we're developing. And we're starting to push longer and longer laterals now, more frac stages. Now that we've got a really nice data set of wells to compare to, we can start to make small tweaks to the design, and we'll know for sure whether or not those tweaks are successful as we compare those back to existing producing wells. And I think we're seeing some really good efficiencies from the drillers. It's just amazing how fast and how long they can drill and how quickly these days we get longer and longer wells for cheaper and cheaper cost. We just recently drilled a well in Brazeau where we had a 2,160-meter horizontal lateral that we drilled it with one bit. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So the Spirit River has been a big part of our growth. Obviously, the tighter sandstone reservoirs in the Spirit River are being unlocked with the new technology, and we're building upon those more and more. The Wilrich was sort of the first, and then we've begun adding Nauticuan and Flair. The Wilrich being the deepest one. As we drill down to the Wilrich, we'll, of course, get a look at the Nauticuan and the Flair, so that helps to define the resource for us. And most recently here, the Blue Sky has started to contribute. I think going forward, that's going to be a zone that we're going to look for significant contribution corporately to our production profile as we build out to the end of next year. Just an update on sort of the Open Range acquisition. This is sort of a picture of the Swanson Ansell area. Those two black gas plants there were the two that we ended up acquiring from Open Range, the Galloway and Swanson plant. Swanson on the east side of the Sundance Park. You can see there in the inset graph that at the time we bought it, it was doing about 5 million a day. We did some drilling around it, and then we extended a long gathering line down into South Ansell, where we've drilled some very nice Wilrich wells, and you can see all of that activity has increased production through the plants. And then we doubled the size of the plant here this fall, which took us up to about 50 million a day. So we filled that up already, and now we're waiting on another compressor to come. So we just continue to add volume into the system here. A very strategic acquisition, though, these two facilities. In some ways, they were the biggest gem in the acquisition that we made. The fact that we could then take gas that was being third-party processed away and bring it into our own facilities at a much lower cost and have access to all of this land down to the south with our own infrastructure is a rather key piece of the puzzle. Down in Brazeau, we've just recently brought on a facility down there a couple of weeks ago. It's a 20 million a day facility. We put the first compressor in and got it going, and then now we've got the second compressor up and running. And so it's about a 20 million a day facility. The first 3 wells are on production in that facility, and then we've got 2 more down and in the process of being completed, and a pipeline that we've got to extend down into the southern part of the land base. And then I think we'll get one more well down before the end of the year and keep that drilling rig down there in through the first part of this next year, and we'll see hopefully all that facility capacity overloaded, and we'll have to look at some expansion further into 2014. Ultimately, if we start to continue to see the success in Brazeau that we've had to date, I think this could be an area that you know, we could deploy probably at least $100 million of our 2014 capital budget down here. So a grassroots area, you know, we put this land base together through land sale activity over the last year and a half or so. And really, we did it at lower cost than we could have ever acquired it for. So another key area that has a lot of growth potential for Peyto going forward, a lot of opportunity to use the experience in the Deep Basin to our advantage down here. Our land base continues to grow, and I don't have a slide here, but I should have brought a picture of a lot of the expiries that are going to happen in the Deep Basin over the next couple of years. We're seeing significant land turning over. Obviously, if you think back 5 years ago, when those lands were purchased, 2008, we had $10 gas prices. Nobody did anything about it at the time. Gas prices went down. Nobody drilled. All those lands are now coming due for expiry. And so we're seeing a huge amount of land turning over in the Deep Basin over the next couple of years. It's going to be an opportunity for us to continue to build out our position of strength in the Deep Basin. And, you know, this just sort of illustrates the power of a section of land in the Deep Basin, because you've got all these multiple zones and you can stuff a lot of gas into just a few sections. It's taken us 15 years to develop over 2 TCF, and that fits in just 176 net sections. This year, I believe, we bought about 86 sections net at land sales, and I think the average cost is around $200 an acre. So very, very cheap lands, because, you know, capturing the resource is not really the name of the game. As everybody's starting to appreciate, it's all about execution. And we've got a fairly significant track record of that. First 10 years of Peyto, obviously, we drilled 650 vertical wells. Since to the end of this year, we're going to be over the 300 horizontal well tally, and we still got, you know, a decade or more of drilling inventory out in front of us. Very long reserve life asset. As you know, in the Deep Basin, these tight gas assets have very long reserve life, and we've managed to put together a very attractive operating cost strategy, which is serving us well. We're continuing to grind away on our operating costs, doing what we can to replace fuel with diesel with natural gas in our operations. We've got some chemical recycling programs in place to try and keep methanol costs down. Those are significant. More and more, we're moving to generating our own power with gensets so we can get off the grid. The coal-fired power is more expensive than natural gas-fired power. So all these little things that we can try and do to continue to grind down on our operating costs. And, of course, most know how attractive the fiscal regime is in Alberta, one of the most, I think, one of the most attractive areas in North America right now, for sure. And I think really does level the playing field between Western Canada and a lot of the other basins, say in the U.S., the Eagle Ford, the Marcellus. I think the Alberta royalty regime is one that, you know, allows us to be competitive here, even though we're sort of at the end of the pipe. So our facilities, at the end of this year, we should have a little over 500 million a day of processing capacity. The three new facility projects we just brought on, the Old Man North, the Swanson, and the Brazeau, that adds up to almost 100 million a day of facilities there. That's going into 2014. We've got room to add compression, so we built out process capacity, and now we just need to continue to add a few more compressors into those facilities, and that should take us close to 600 million a day next year. And we've also got a stock plant on order for 40 million a day that's going to go somewhere out there, depending on where we're going to have the most drilling success and where we've seen the most bottlenecks in terms of facilities. I suspect we'll probably be doubling the size of the Old Man North plant here by the end of next year. So, very high level of control, obviously, almost 100% working interest in everything there. So, it's a pretty nice midstream asset at the end of the day. We're not using it as such. We don't do any third-party processing, but we don't even have enough room for all our own gas, let alone somebody else's gas. So, but at some point in time, it's going to be an asset that's going to be worth a whole lot more. So, you know, it's all about the returns. We're still seeing very good capital efficiencies going forward, sub 20,000 of flowing BOE for the last 4 or 5 years, so a very proven track record of capital efficiency, and so with that, we have a lot of confidence as to where we can go into the future. This return analysis is a little bit stale. I'll be coming at you with one for 2013 here. We've done some preliminary work, and we're right in that range of about 25% rate of return for this year's capital program as well, even though it's a bigger capital program. So we're excited to see what the year-end rack-up looks like. And not dissimilar from last year, I think this year's returns per well will be in line with sort of last year's analysis, where many of the zones have similar full cycle rate of return. You know, what I take away from this slide more than anything else is, and I'm looking at Cody because he was telling me all about his Vegas trip recently, is we drilled 86 wells last year, and out of the 86 wells, in 83 cases, we're going to get our capital back, or we're going to make more, or we're going to make a return on that capital. And, you know, if you can go to Vegas and go to the craps tables, and out of 86 rolls of the dice, 83 times, you either get your ante back or you win, I don't think you'd be coming home on Sunday. You know, that's the type of repeatability, that's the type of low-risk development that we're doing in the Deep Basin. You always hit gas, and if you control your costs well enough, you're going to make money in almost each and every case. So the work that I've seen so far in 2013, I think out of the 90 wells or something that I've seen so far from the guys, I think there was only one well where we're not making our capital back. So, you know, I don't want to say it's a guaranteed return, but the history has shown us that the profitability is very high, and really the risks are extremely low in this area, and that's what we like, low-risk returns. So very, very predictable, very repeatable results each and every year. So 2014 is going to be a bigger year even again. We've got a capital budget approved between $575 and $625. If history tells us anything, we tend to err on the high side with our capital programs. We've invested more than we even thought we were going to for each of the last 3 or 4 years, doing more, drilling more, having more success. And right now, in this fourth quarter of 2013, we've drilled some of the best wells we've ever drilled in Peyto's history, and so we're having some of the most fun, and so we're headed into 2014 with a great level of enthusiasm. Expecting a lot from this big capital program. I think on average we'll probably have about 9 rigs running through the year. We planned for this coming winter to actually peel back the program a little bit and maybe have 7 or 8 rigs running. The problem is we get into the winter and we're fracking with all this water, and of course you have to heat it to keep it from freezing, and that's a bunch of extra cost. And the drilling rigs and the crews are never as efficient when it's 40 below as they are when it's 20 above, and it's just harder to be at your best when, you know, 18 hours a day is dark. You contrast that to the summertime when we can drill a lot of these same areas in the summer and we're not having to heat water, and guys are working in 18 hours of daylight and the temperatures are warm. They're just that much more efficient, and we're seeing it on the drilling rigs. We're seeing the performance just pick up that much better in the summertime. So, again, like 2013, we're planning to have the largest amount of our capital deployed in the third quarter when it's warm and there's lots of daylight, and that's when we're getting the least amount of pressure on services as well, because typically in Western Canada, activity in the winter picks up and slows down in the summer. So we're going to go counter-cyclical to the industry yet again and try and be as busy as we can in the summer and try and put less pressure on the service industry in the wintertime when it's cold and dark. And it is cold in Calgary right now. So 2014 is, you know, this looks very similar again. Fifth year in a row, and we're growing our production from start to finish. We've increased our capital program, capital efficiencies. I expect, you know, we're forecasting something sub 18,000 flowing, but actually I think they're going to continue to come down quite a bit. In 2014, the amount we're spending on facilities is a little less. We spent about 20% of our capital in 2013 on facilities. I think we'll only spend about 10% on facilities in 2014. So that translates into more wells drilled, more production on, and even better capital efficiency going forward. That combined with, you know, the longer laterals, the higher frac intensities that we're seeing, better results we're seeing, I have a suspicion that our capital efficiency might actually start to go down from that 17,000 flowing level, which from what I saw at lunch has got to be one of the industry leading levels in terms of capital efficiency. So we're continuing to execute exactly as we have in the past, and we don't expect anything less from the results than what we've seen in the past. So we're rapidly becoming quite a large producer in the industry. So the goals, again, profitability goals are the same as they've always been. Build it and produce it for less than what we're selling it for. We've had close to $2 F&D costs on all of our organic stuff over the last 4 years. Expect that next year will be no different as we continue to grind away on those costs, trying to be as optimistic or as opportunistic as we can, try and be countercyclical, do most of the activity in the summer, work with these compressed natural gas drilling rigs. We've got four now that are running off gas. We're getting longer laterals. And then on the cash cost side, we continue to grind away on our op costs, keep our interest costs down and of course, keep G&A at a minimum and ultimately sell or turn the $3 gas price with the liquids and the heat content into something closer to $5. So we typically take about $3, lift it by about 150%, and we get close to that $5 mark. So that gives us almost 40% profit margin. Out of that $2 of profit, we're dividending about $1 of that out to shareholders, and then obviously deploying the other dollar back into the ground to continue to generate returns. So I'm a minute and 48 over time, but I think there's a few seconds for questions.
Sure. Any tips, Cody?
No, the blend hasn't really changed over time. So we have to put in refrigeration process in order to knock out the heavier components. We knock out obviously all the C5, about half the C4 and about a third of the propane, C3. We don't have to knock out the ethane. We can make hydrocarbon dew point spec in TransCanada's pipe, leaving it in. And really there's no economics to take it out. It costs more to take it out than you get for it if you sell it in liquid form. So we leave it in the gas stream and get paid for it in terms of BTU content. There's tightness, obviously, in fractionation of propane-butane C5 blend. We've got contracted takeaway and fractionation capacity out of our greater Sundance area over the next year or so, and then we're going to have to look at expanding that capacity. But that should be coincident with some expansion in the process capacity that we hear from Kiara and Pembina and Plains. Those guys are looking at adding to their fractionation capacity by the end of 2014 into 2015. So hopefully our growth in volume is going to coincide with that. If they're really as tight as they say they are, we're seeing decline in Western Canada of probably 25% a year, and the industry's only putting back enough capital to maybe replace half that decline. So as conventional production in Western Canada keeps falling off, I think we're taking pressure off those facilities, quite frankly. And we just don't see the drilling around us. There's only a few players really drilling in the Deep Basin in a material way, and the basin is barely growing. It's really staying relatively flat. So I just don't see that the pressure on the fractionation is coming as greatly as some others are projecting.
Thanks for providing the detail on that, and thanks for the presentation, Darren.
You bet. Thank you.